Praise God. Please turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're on this Unity series. So good to see you all on this cold morning. Winter is coming, but thank God there's a fire in the house of God. There's a fire burning in hearts and lives and prayer lives and a desire to evangelize and worship the Lord, to edify and encourage each other. So let's keep the fire burning throughout this winter time. May get cold out there, may be cold outside, but it doesn't need to be cold inside. Just light that fire, stoke it up, keep near the Lord, keep praying, believing in the Lord. This morning my message, as we continue, come down to the end of this series on unity in the church, and my message, members of the body, members of the body. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, but more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honour to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honoured, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you this morning for the body of Christ, the individual members that make up this church. Father, I pray this morning that you bless every individual member. I pray, my God, will you raise up faith within their hearts? Will you make them to operate by faith according to that grace that you have given them to be a member of the body of Christ? Father, we want every member functioning. We want to function together in unity, Lord God, and yet in diversity, being individually selected and laid into the body as you have chosen. My God, I pray, O God, set us free from every inhibition, set us free from every elitism. Lord God, set us free from feeling even insufficient or the least, in Jesus' name. We do pray that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, I pray, even as we open up the word, will you minister of your heart, and of your thoughts, of your desires. Lord God, will your Holy Spirit just move right now in every single member of this body to make us effectual, to make us alive, to make us to arise and to be what you've called us to be in this church. And we just love you that you saved us and made us part of a body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message is members of the body. Last time we dealt with the headship of Jesus Christ. I believe it's a vital, essential doctrine that Jesus is the head of the local church. He's the head of the church internationally. But every local church, Jesus is the head. He is the source. He is everything it needs. He is the government. He is the source of every thought, the source of every desire, and the source of every command. But here this morning I want to deal with members of the body. Remembering it's in the context of the unity of the church. We are dealing with the individual members of the body. In these verses I've just read to you from verse 12 to verse 27, the word body is used 18 times. That isn't accidental. It is inspired of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who put it here. It wasn't just written of men. It didn't just come out of the imagination of men. It was men moved of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knew what he wanted to say. When the Holy Spirit says something 18 times in a period of short verses, I know he has something to say to us. 18 times he uses the word body. Also in this one chapter, 15 times the word one is used. One represents unity. One is oneness, unity, to be joined together as one though we are many. When we begin to take note of this, that this chapter is dominated by the body of Christ, which is the church of Jesus. And notice here 15 times, one. But in that oneness is a body. 18 times he's talking about the body. The body. What is the body? It is the body of Christ. Look at verse 12 at the end of it. It says, so also is Christ. What is Christ? It is the church, the members of the body all joined together. For as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is not divided. That's why there ought not to be division. Where there is division, Christ says, this is my body, right down to the toes of the feet. He doesn't say, I am something different than the body. Christ is the head of the body. And he says, any division in that body, any sickness in that body, it affects me and I am involved with it. I am not separate from it. Are you in a trial this morning? Christ is intimately connected with it. Or do you have doubts and fears in your mind? Then my Christ is connected and joined to that. There is only one Christ. There is only one body. And you know we're not talking about belonging to a denomination or some church title. You see, Paul talked frequently about the church as a physical body. He talks about it in Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, and Colossians. He keeps bringing them back to it. When you look at the church is the body. And you cannot understand the church, the local church, LCC, or how you're to operate here, if you don't think of it as a body. If you don't understand the body, the physical body, you'll never understand the spiritual body. We are not people attending meetings. We're not a bunch of people thrown together for a number of years. We're not people who just get together for a good time. We are individuals who come together and we have a specific place in a specific body. There is no accident with it. There's nothing left to chance. It is very, very exact. Notice what it says in verse 13. It says, for what by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, that's an extreme breach there. Jew, Gentile. There's no greater breach than Jew or Gentile. And I want to tell you, any teaching in the church that separates the Jew from the Gentile is anti-biblical and it is divisive. We'll never have a messianic church separate from the body of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a local Irish church, and we'll have Hebrew Jewish Christians meeting down the road. What he's saying here is that the body of Christ, or the truth of the body of Christ, is that Jew and Gentile have come together in one body. There is neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ. Don't you say, oh, I'm Irish. Don't you say, I'm Jew. I'm African. I'm English, or I'm anything else. I want to show you there's one body in LCC. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your birth certificate says. All I care about is that you have a spiritual birth certificate, and you can say, I'm born again. God has changed me. I can look at a second birth. You see, there's no division in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God has done something in the church where there's no difference between Jew or Gentile. There is no distinction. And notice what it says in verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The word baptized is not talking about water baptism. It's not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about John's baptism of repentance. What is this baptism? Look, it is the Holy Spirit taking an individual. Notice it. Christ, when he baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, he does it. But he isn't doing it here. It is the Holy Spirit taking you as an individual, and he baptizes you, not in the Holy Spirit, not in water, but into the church. Now look, this is a real experience. The Holy Spirit takes an individual, and he takes them and he baptizes them into the church. The word baptize means to immerse. Now listen, this is what the Holy Spirit does. If you were born again, you have been made a member of the body of Christ. How do you join this church? Do we have a special joining class? Do we get you to sign on the dotted line? Is there €1,000 fee to join this church? What do we do? Do we look for your hand or for you to walk in an altar? I tell you, no man can make you a member of this church. I can't make you a member of this church. It is impossible. Only one person makes you a member of the body of Christ, and that's the Holy Spirit. Now notice here, it's not Tom Jenkins. Generally, oh, he made me a member in Limerick, then over in London, and then some other country. I moved places, and now the Holy Spirit. No, no, no. This is once for all. It's not talking about LCC. It's saying when you're really born again, and you weren't born again. You are born in your sin. You are dead in your sin. You need a face-to-face encounter where you're saved, where you're forgiven, where you're cleansed of your sin. The first work that God does in a life, he'll show you that you're a sinner. If you were never convinced that you're a sinner, if God never hung you over hell, I mean God hanging you over hell and saying you're a sinner on your way to hell, if that's never happened to you, you've never been born again. Because you can't get the cure without realizing your sickness. No man has ever got saved until he said, I am a hell-deserving sinner. I'm lost.
Right.
Oh, I've always been saved. Oh, well, I've always believed in God. That is not in the Bible. You must be born again.
Yeah.
You need a life-changing encounter. There needs to be a day, a time, a point, a place where you have met with Jesus and you went, man, he showed me my sin. I reveal all the religion didn't mean anything. All my good deeds and good desires and morality, it didn't mean anything. I needed an experience of the Spirit of God. Well, notice that every real Christian, and notice here it says they've been baptized. You know, I love the Greek language. I don't know much of it, but I know how to study. Baptized means a one-off act. Do you hear me in the Greek? You see, the Greek, the tense, you can have something that keeps happening all the time or frequently. Or you can have it said in such a way, once for all, never to be repeated. It cannot be repeated. And that's what it says here. The Spirit has baptized us once, only once, into the body of Christ, into the church. Only once does he baptize you. Now what happens? He immerses you. He submerges you. He plunges you. You know, in water baptism, in the Catholic Church, they'll sprinkle you with a bit of water. It's all wrong and none to do with the Bible. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says Baptism, the Greek word, is submerged. You can't see them. They're drenched, they're soaked, they're under the water. Now what happens when you get baptized into the church? The Holy Spirit takes you and He plunges you into the church, His church. He submerges you. You are lost sight of. It's not me, my, and ours anymore. Saints, something happens to you when you get born again, and I'm not talking about salvation. Joining the church or not joining the church has nothing to do with salvation. When you're born again, you say, I want to be in fellowship. I want to be in the church. Why? You've been baptized by the Spirit into the church. Do you know the reality of that experience? Once for all, God has put me in the church. And that's why if you ever find a Christian not in a church, not in fellowship, there's something wrong. Either they've got hurt, they've backslidden, they're in rebellion, or they were never saved at all. One of those things has happened. But I assure you, a real Christian will always say, I need to be in the house of God. I need to be with other believers. I need to be in fellowship. I want to function in the body of Christ. If that desire isn't there, there is something seriously wrong with you. Because the Holy Spirit, and you don't hear about this baptism in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit has baptized you into the body. You're meant to be a member of the body. You're meant to function in the body. If you're not regular in meetings, there's something wrong with your Christianity. If you come to church once a month, I assure you, you ought to be asking yourself, what is wrong with me? Why do I not desire it more? You see, you can't be and function as a normal Christian unless you're in regular, continual fellowship. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. We are many. What is a member of the body? It's a Christian, an individual Christian, a unique Christian who provides something that nobody else in the entire body provides. Now I want to deal with four small truths here contained in the next verses that are very important when we deal with the members of the body. First of all, inferiority. Second of all, superiority. Third of all, interdependence. And fourth of all, care. If you don't understand these things, then you cannot and will not function as the body of Christ or as a member. Please note with me, first of all, we see in these verses, inferiority. I'm dealing with members of a church or a body. Inferiority. What's the mark of a member in the church? And you can be in the church and you have an inferiority complex. Now what's the mark of that member in the body? Now I'm telling you, a real Christian, they're really born again. They're really a part of the church. The Holy Spirit has put them there. Other members love them, desire them, and enjoy their fellowship. They are in the body by a work of the Holy Spirit. But notice they are marked with inferiority. Or we could say their whole thinking is, I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. Now notice in verse 15, this is the inferiority complex in a member of the body. It says, if the foot shall say. Now notice he's raising the question, if. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Now I want you to notice here, this is inferiority. This is an actual member, the foot. The foot is a member of the body. But they're not like other members. They're not meant to be like other members. They are a particular member of the body. They don't think like some of the others. They don't operate like some of the others. They can't do what some of the others do. They aren't even inclined to do some of the things the others do. But notice what this foot is saying. This foot is thinking. This foot is speaking. This foot is surmising. And he's saying, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Now it's very serious. That is inferiority. This is an actual member. Who made them a member? It's not salvation, remember. Who made them a foot? God made them a foot. Who? God made them a foot. God created them to be a foot. When he saved them, he says, I want you to be a foot. You are a foot. Now listen to this. They actually are a foot. They look like a foot. They act like a foot. They function like a foot. They've got all the joints, the ankle joints for being a foot. They are a foot. If I look at them, I'll say, he's a foot. She is a foot. No doubt about it. I know the church. I know the Bible. If ever I've seen a foot, that's a foot. I can assure you, I've seen a lot of feet in my life. And when I see a foot, I recognize a foot. I'll never confuse a foot for a hand. Never. And yet, you know what? Both are in the body of Christ. Both are needed in the body of Christ. But notice this member of the body. They are actually saying, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. That's a very serious thing to say. Then the next verse, verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. What a serious thing. Here is the ear actually saying, I'm not an eye, therefore I'm not a member of the body. Do you realize they can't even recognize their own place in the body? Do you realize their thinking is such, looking at another member in the body, that they utterly disbelieve what they are? They can't see what they are. They don't understand what they are. And when you don't know what you are, you stop functioning. Right. If I think I should be a hand, I ought to be a hand, I would like to be a hand, I'm not going to try to be a foot.
Right.
I'm not going to be saying, I'm called to do this. Do you know what's going to happen? I am going to neglect to do what I am called to do, what God has put me here to actually do. Those who are inferior in the body are in danger of saying, I am a nobody. And I want to tell you, if you're sitting here and you say, I am a nobody, you better repent this morning. You don't have the right to say that. Jesus died for you on the cross. His blood was shed for you. How dare you say that you're a nobody? You're in grave danger when that grips you of being jealous. Of being envious. What I mean? You go, if only I could be. What about just being what you are?
Right.
If only I could be. I don't have the ability to see. Therefore, what is the point of hearing? I don't have the ability to lift something. Therefore, what is the point of walking? What purpose does it actually serve? You're in danger of jealousy, envy, of being dissatisfied, and of self-pity. I want you to see someone here spiraling out of control. And you know what the end result is? I am not of the body. Why not? I don't feel it. Okay, your feelings, right? I think it. Okay, so you think you're not part of the body. Why? Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a foot.
Right.
I'm not an eye, I'm not an ear, I'm not this, I'm not them, I can't do this, I'm not doing that. One question, are you born again? Are you saved by God's grace? Did he blot out your sins? Has he brought you here by his grace? Then what are you doing?
Right.
You know, there was a lady, you know, Pat from Scotland, and she was in the church a few years, and she'd come in. I'd go and visit her for a cup of tea and some Heinz tomato soup. Never touched any other tomato soup or any other soup in 7 years. Had to be Heinz tomato soup. And I'd sit there, and she'd start on a Monday morning. Oh, I don't know my place in the church. I don't know where I fit, and I don't have a task, and I don't. And I'd play devil's advocate. I said, you're absolutely right. You're useless. You're hopeless. I don't know why you come. Why do you keep coming in it anyway? You're so out of step with the rest of us. I said, Pat, will you wise up? Said it nicely. She was my friend very much. I said, Pat, do you know, I'm joking with you because I, a preacher in this church, I can see what you are. I see how you function. I can remember that day on a Saturday night when we were sitting around fellowshipping and praying, and I was in one of my darkest trials. I'm the preacher. I was in one of my darkest trials, and you felt led of the Holy Spirit to come across the room and lay hands on me and pray for me. Do you know what? I was totally set at liberty. I was free. That's a member of the body. Do you know what? I said after the next day, I need to come see you, Pat. She got scared. She went, oh no, it's Saturday night. I am in trouble. I sat down, started telling her, I'm so sorry. said, sorry, nothing. I said, you prayed for me. I was totally set free. If you hadn't have done that, she says, I was so scared. But she says, I felt moved of the Holy Spirit. Saints, you can sit here thinking, I don't know where I fit. I wish it was that. I'm a nobody. God help you, repent this morning. Yeah. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. Get, arise and be what God has called you to be. Yeah. I know what you're meant to be here. Just love Jesus Christ and the blessing of God will come down. He goes further in saying, is it therefore not of the body? If a member says, I am not of the body. Now listen, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. If you say, I'm not of the body because I'm not an ear or an eye or a hand. I am not. I'm thinking it. I am feeling it. I am saying it. What is the point of me? I am a nobody. What does he say? Is it therefore not of the body? You're a member of the body. You're an actual member and God has made you. Doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you think. You are a member. God has made you that. You don't make yourself a foot. No foot says, let me try to act like a foot. Don't do that, please. Oh, I've got to try and be an ear. Please don't do that if you're not an ear. But I tell you, if you are a nose, you are going to breathe, I assure you. If you are a foot, you are going to walk something along the way. You might be slow, you might be hesitant, you might be fearful. But I assure you, along this way, some point, you're going to go, I've got to walk, I've got to walk. I feel so stirred in this meeting, I've got to start moving my feet, I've got to do something. What does it mean? You are a foot. Don't let feelings, thoughts dominate you. Yeah. No feeling, no thought, no concept of the mind changes reality. If you're born again, you're a member of the body. God has a plan and he's got a precise part for you. If you say you're of no importance, you're lying and you're contradicting the Bible. Yeah. Don't say it, don't think it, don't believe it. It is wrong for you to believe I am a nobody. And it's not that you feel sorry for yourself. You need to stop it. You are actually denying the word of God. As I speak this morning, believe the word of God. God sets you at liberty. If he can set me at liberty with a member praying for me, you can be set free here this morning. My God's grace. Verse 17, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Can you imagine? Okay, so let's all be preachers. Let's the whole church come together. And there's no accordion, there's no guitar, there's no tambourine, there's no one on the acetates, there's nothing set up. If it was all left to me, I assure you this place would be a messy place this morning. And there'll be no food for your lunchtime, and there'll be no worship, and no, this place you won't want to sit in the seats. Do you hear me? If we are all a Keith Malcolmson, if we're all an ear or an eye or some other member, we're talking logically here. If the whole body were an eye, can you imagine an entire body? No arms, no legs, no nose, no ears. It's just a big ear. Can you imagine a big ear bouncing into the meeting this morning? Can you imagine the entire body being the eye? You'll not be able to hear. It's impossible to hear. Or if the whole were hearing, we all could hear. Everybody can hear. Then where's the smelling? You see, this person is inferior, but their vision is narrow. Do you know all they see is somebody else? I see that person. I see how they pray. I see how they operate. I see how they function. I see how they fellowship. And when I look at them, do you know what your problem is? You become blind. Your vision is very narrow. You're not seeing the entire body. You're actually bringing yourself to a point where you go, I only see one other member and I just wish I was like that. And see, if I was like that, I would do, I'd be so free. No, you wouldn't. You know why? Because you'd be out of place. You'd be in disobedience. You'd be filled with pride and covetousness and jealousy. And I'm telling you, I would not like to be around you. You'd be a pain in the neck. Verse 18, it says, but now hath God set the members. Notice this. God, who sets the members in the body? God. You don't have a right to decide. Oh, I want to be an ear. You don't have a right to decide that. Oh, I always wanted to be a foot or a hand. You don't have the right to decide that. I only know one person. I don't even decide that. I don't say, no, you need to be doing this and you need to be doing this and I'd love you to be doing this. I never said that, never will. You know what? Whatever, God, if you jump in here as a fit, I'm going to say you're a fit. Do you think so? Yeah. You look like one. You walk like one. You function like one. I guess you must be a fit. What do you think I am? Well, you look like an ear. Can you hear? Yeah. Well, maybe you're an ear. See, all of this, it is there. It says God has set. That word set's very important. Underline it in verse 18. God has set. The word set means to specifically place in a particular set position. God has done it. A preacher doesn't do it. The church doesn't do it. It is actually God puts them in a specific place as a particular member. You just need to find out what God has made you. You don't become something. You don't try to become something. You don't try to change yourself. Saints, we're talking about a normal family here. We are the body of Christ. And in an atmosphere of love, we begin to function normally. It says God has set every member, every one of them. Oh, apart from me. Every one of them. I so wish I was included in that. You are. You are included in the everyone. You have a place. But I don't know it yet. Fine, just stick around. Just get established. Just walk with God. Amen. If you keep hopping about all over the place, you'll never find out what you are. If you're always going here, there, wherever. I tell you, stay put. Candace loves her garden. She loves her plants at the back. And I'm telling you, I've never seen her every week go, pull them up. Is it growing? What's happening there? That thing is going to die. Yeah. Yet we think we can get a plant. Let's put it in a different pot every single week. Brother, you grew plants. I tell you, that thing is going to die. Yeah. Leave it in the pot. Yeah. Leave it alone. Yeah. Feed it. Water it. But don't pull it out. Yeah. Let its roots grow. You're not allowing the roots to grow. That's why there's no fruit. That's why it doesn't go anywhere. One minute you're out. The next minute you're in. It goes from blessing to hell. I assure you there's more than that in the body of Christ. It says he's put everyone in the body as it has pleased him. Doesn't matter if it doesn't please you. Well, I tell you, you better know what God has done. If you grumble against God, that's a very serious thing. I wish God had made me. Well, he hasn't. I wish he'd made me lots of things, but I had to be faithful at what he gave me. And I said, I'm going to do the will of God. I can't be that. I don't have that. I'm not like this. My personality's different. My gift is different. Well, I think I'll just be Keith Malcolmson and I'll walk with God and love Jesus Christ. That is it. That is the secret. You see, no inferiority. When you accept the member you have been made, when you accept God is in control, when you believe that God has put you in this church according to his good pleasure and his choice, you will lose your inferiority. When you begin to see the entire body and say, I may only be an ear, but I'm going to be the best ear that's ever been in LCC. I may only be a little toe, but I'm going to be one of the best little toes that's ever walked O'Connell Street. I am going to be everything I'm called to be. I don't need to be everything else. I don't need to be a leader. I'm not called to it. Why would I want to be? I tell you, you've got judgment coming if you're a leader. Yeah. Such a serious thing. Verse 18. It is please God. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? See these people. They not only lose sight of who they are. They not only have a wrong vision of others, an unreal vision of others. If only I could be, I see that member. That's unreal. It's not natural. It's not biblical. But notice it says, where would the body be? Do you realize that attitude destroys the body because you do not want to be what you are? And you want everybody to be something. Saints, I do not think like that. I want to think biblically. I'm so glad for you in this church. I don't expect any two of you to be the same, function the same, act the same. But I do expect you to walk in holiness, be born again, and walk in the light of God's word. But as far as being a member, your personalities are different. I've never seen such a mixed bunch. I love it. I love Dolly mixtures. No two of them in the packet are the same. The diversity. And yet, it's certainly a Dolly mixture. I want to tell you, it is all there. Secondly, is superiority. We've had inferiority, but we have superiority. Inferiority, I'm a nobody. Superiority, I'm a somebody. Do you hear me? It's reversed, but I tell you what, both of them have problems.
Right.
The Mr. Nobody has as much of a problem as the Mr. Somebody.
Yes.
What is this superiority complex in a member of the body? It doesn't say they're not born again because they're inferior or superior. You could have a problem with being superior. I am somebody. I'm going to assure you, it doesn't exclude you from the body of Christ. It might cause others a problem. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You're a nobody. I'm a somebody. May cause people problems. But I want to show you, they're still a member of the body. Mr. Nobody and Mr. Somebody are both members in the same church. And the problem with Mr. Somebody is his pride, his elitism. He thinks he's something when he's not. He thinks he can do the tasks of others. He actually believes he doesn't need other people and that everything is in him. He does not see the vital need of every single member of the body. Both Mr. Somebody and Mr. Nobody, they don't really understand the church. They don't see the body of Christ. They don't have a revelation of the body of Christ. And Mr. Somebody is just as bad as Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody criticizes Mr. Somebody, going, he thinks he's somebody. Mr. Somebody looks at Mr. Nobody and goes, man, no wonder I have to do everything when Mr. Nobody is the way they are. You get these things practically happening in the church, I'm sad to say. Verse 21, notice the superiority. It says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Now look at this Mr. Somebody with his pride, his elitism. Notice what marks him, verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Look at what the eye is saying to the hand. I don't need you. I can see. I'm in an elevated position. You're down there. I don't need you. I'm not reliant on you. Me, the eye, I don't see a need for you. Do you know the eye doesn't necessarily see a need for the hand? Scratching his head saying, I haven't got a clue, I don't have a job for you, I don't have any place for you, I don't even know what purpose you serve, I can't even imagine what function you could have, you just seem to hang about here all day, going hither, thither, I'm pretty static, but you're always moving around, always got your hand in everything and other people's business. I never do that. I keep my distance, I see from afar off. I'm telling you what happens. And notice the mentality. I have no need of thee.
Right.
It goes further. Nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. You are not of the whole body. Mr. Nobody says, I'm not of the body. Mr. Somebody says, you're not of the body. What a contrast, and yet the same attitude in it all. You see the word need. I have no need of you. The body does not need you. And if that's in your heart, you better repent this morning. It is a stinking, rotten attitude. If you could think that of anyone, they have no place. I don't need them. I can function without the rest. I don't need you, bunch. I can. And you know what? People have passed through here who act like that, and they speak like that. They walk out and say, I don't need any of you. Do you not? We pray for you. We love you. We care for your soul. We'd lift you when you're discouraged. When you fail, God, and fall into sin, we'd be there to help you back up under your feet. When you're getting cold in the world, we would bring the warmth of fellowship around you. We'd pray for you when you need it. And you say you do not need us.
Yeah.
See, that person may look weak. They are weak, but they're superior. In their mind, they're saying, I'm too proud to say I need help. I am above you. I am beyond you. I do not need to function as a member. I am a free entity. I go anywhere. I go anytime I want. I can do anything. I am not joined to you. I don't need to meet regularly with you. What a dangerous, dangerous attitude. The word need means necessity or job. or nothing you can add. You have nothing I need. You've got a problem if you think that the people sitting around you don't have something that you really need. You really do have a problem. You actually need to humble yourself a bit. If you think you're so high that you're greater than others, I can assure you, the only humble men on the earth are the ones who don't know it, don't proclaim it, and don't make much of it. A proud person, it is very visible in their actions. I'm talking about superiority. I don't need you. What do you do? Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? You see, all of this causes division. Many years ago, a story was told of the rebellion in the body, a physical body, a real man's body. And there was a rebellion took place in his physical body. This particular day, the eye, the ear, the hand, and the foot sat down together. And all four of them began to speak together. And Mr. Mouth was there, of course. Mouthy always has to be there in the midst of these conversations. And they all sat down together and they began to talk about Mr. Stomach. And Mr. Mouth says, hey, I'm always eating. He enjoys it. He draws in everything I do. He doesn't do anything. Mr. Foot says, you've got a point. I'm always walking, going, getting the food. Mr. Hand says, I'm always breaking it up, cutting it up, doing all that work. The ear saying, I always hear when the dinner bell goes, I'm always making sure you're there in time for a hot meal. We're all working in unity. But you know what? Mr. Stomach, and they got to talking amongst themselves, said he's lazy. He's neglectful. He's just a user, an abuser. He drinks everything that we take. He doesn't do anything around here. So the rebellion of the body began. All of these members of the body joined together and said, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to answer the dinner call again. Me, the mouth, I ain't opening. I'm zipping it. I'm closed. First time in his life he ever did. All of them joined together. Within 24 hours, that entire body has come to a standstill. Little did they realize the stomach hidden away from sight was generating the energy for every single member. That stomach was working unseen, functioning to affect every member of the body. No one seen it. Nobody acknowledged it. Nobody was aware of it. But take the function of that stomach away. I can assure you, you are going to feel it in a very real way. Sometimes we can take each other for granted. The preacher will always be there. Margaret will always be there. Ellen is always going to be in those acetates. Hey, who? When's the last time you said, I think Ellen needs a holiday where she just worships the Lord and she's not doing acetates? I tell you, that is a calling as much as anything. Well, this morning I felt like not coming to church. Everyone turns up at the door. Where's Keith? Home in bed. But you can't do that. But hold on. Do you ever think you can?
Yeah.
I've met people walk in this door in recent months that they thought they had the right to do it regularly.
That's right.
And I said, what about if I didn't turn up? Okay, that's me. I'm staying at home. I can't be bothered. No church.
Amen.
There'll be no meeting for your kids.
Yeah.
There'll be no stirring of your hearts.
Yeah.
I tell you, saints, there's consequence if you just don't be what you're called to be. Then thirdly, Mr. Interdependence. Now I'm coming to something good here. So we've seen Mr. Nobody, Mr. Somebody. Let me show you Mr. Everybody, or someone in the church with the awareness of everybody else. He is called Mr. Interdependence. He depends on others and he knows others depend on him. If he's not there, he's allowing others to suffer. If others aren't there, he knows he suffers. If you're not if someone's missing from this meeting this morning, I miss them. I long for them. I am lacking because their prayer isn't here, their worship isn't here, their tithe isn't here, their presence isn't here, their encouragement, their amen, whatever it is. I miss them. I'm a loser if you're not here this morning. Or if I wasn't here, I would be missing out on the blessing of the saints gathering. But look at Mr. Interdependence. He has humility, he has reality, he has honesty. I need the body of Christ.
Right.
Others need me. I need others. It's humility. It's reality. It is honesty. This is how God has put us together. Verse 22, nay much more, those members of the body which, underline the word, seem to be. Do you know what he's saying? It's not, but it seems to be. Those members which seem to be. And he's going to name three types of members in the body. And he says they seem to be something, but they're not really. What you think about this member is not what God thinks about this member. Because God planned it this way. You think it's an accident. You think it's a problem. You think it's because something's lacking. No. God planned it this way. Listen. First of all, which seem to be more feeble. That means without strength. They're weak. They don't have much power. And there are certain members of the body of Christ in a church. They're more weak than others. They don't seem to have the strength of others. They seem to have very little ability to stand. They always seem like they are just standing. They are not strong people. You wouldn't look at them and say, man, this is a giant of a man. He's immovable. You know, people can look at me and think, he never moves. He never gets down. He never. I can assure you, I get it all. But I look strong. I'm not strong. I'm the weakest man in here. You may want to argue with me. My wife can tell you I am the weakest, most frail man in this room this morning. I've got no problem telling you that. I know it. You think I'm wrong. I know it's true. Okay? But when we look with eye, we make a lot of mistakes. There's those who seem to be more feeble. More without strength they seem to be. That means you're going with the eye and the ear and with this brain. That's what you're using. You're not talking like God here. They are more weak. But look what it says. No, they are more necessary. This is how God has joined the body. There's certain members, they look weak, but they are more necessary. That means more needful. They're closer in on everything. Listen, they're indispensable. They look weak. Maybe you're here this morning, you feel weak. I'm only standing. You're more indispensable than me. You're needed here. Oh, but I just made it here this morning. I'm only just standing. I'm standing against temptation. I don't even know how I made it through the week. You're indispensable. Don't leave the church. Don't leave your place in the church. Don't stop doing what you're doing. You are indispensable. No, I'm worthless. I'm useless. I can only just make it. You're indispensable. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I didn't write this, you know. We cannot do without them. They seem to be very weak, but we cannot do without them. Our verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable. That means without honour. Despised. Or nothing to be spoken about or praised. You know, there's some people in the church. You can do something that's always noticed. So others can do things it's never noticed. Get used to it. That happens. Do you know there's things in your body you're unconscious of? You're conscious of what your hand does. You're unconscious of your kidneys. You don't even recognize it. You don't get to the end of the day and say, thank God for my kidney. I'm so glad it's functioning well. No, but you go, man, that hand, that muscle. Boy, you're aware of it. That happens in the church. It says, we think to be less honourable. There are certain members, we think of them. There's no honour about them. There's nothing special about them. They're of a lower caste. But upon these we bestow more abundant honour or value. So there's those that don't seem as rigorous as others. We bestow. Do you know what that means? We surround them. We hedge them around. We bring in more honour. I'm telling you what we do as the body of Christ. A member that just seems normal, natural, your run-of-the-mill member. Do you know what we ought to be doing? We put more honour on them. We put a higher price on them. Oh no, the preacher, the visiting speaker, someone who's dynamic, someone who's able to pray the heavens down. No, we actually surround the person who's your rank and file member of the body with more honour than the preacher. Do you hear me? We ought to do that. We ought to honour them. And then it says, and our uncomely parts. The word literally means shapeless. or don't hold yourself well, or parts of you that you wouldn't really want to look on. I assure you, there's parts in your physical body I do not want to look on this morning. There's certain parts of your body somewhere in it you would not want to look at it this morning. Your stomach would turn, I assure you. You'd turn away quickly and go, look, I know it's in there. As long as it works, I don't need to look at it. Can I tell you, the Bible talks in the church, there can be uncomely parts. There's not much shape, they don't hold themselves well. And yet they have more abundant comeliness. I'm telling you from God's perspective, if you're carnal, you'll actually go, there's not much shape to them, not much function to them. They don't hold themselves well, they don't walk in a straight line. They don't stand with the grandeur of a prince. But the Bible says from God's perspective, they have a greater charm and beauty. They have a great charm. Others in the world or the carnal church will say, they're shapeless. But if I'm a spiritual person, I'll look on them and say, they have a beauty that is extraordinary. They have a charm. For our comely parts have no need. Maybe you look very beautiful this morning. You don't have much need of things. But I assure you, we need to put great beauty upon those other members. It says, verse 24, God hath tempered the body together. It means to co-mingle, to combine, to unite. And hath given more abundant honor or value to that which lacked. That which is inferior. That which is last. That which has fallen behind. That which has fallen short. Has more value. Do you hear me? If you're here and you feel you're falling behind everyone else, you're always lagging behind, you're not running the race as good, there's a greater value in you. You may not believe it, you may not understand it, it doesn't matter, it's the Bible. The Bible actually says it. Let me finish with verse 25. Care. We've seen inferiority, we've seen superiority, we've seen the interdependence, but let me finish with this care. For there should be no schism in the body. That means split, gap, rent, or division. Do you know what it's like with a church? A church gets split. A church is divided. People are fighting with each other. People are bickering and accusing and undermining. That's a schism. That's a division. For there should be no schism in the body. Do you hear me? In the church there should be no division. There is to be no separation in this church. We are one body. We are to be united. We are to be joined together. It says, but the members should have the same care for one another. Notice this. No schism. Care for one another. What is the opposite of division? What is the cure of division? Because either you'll have division or you have care. What is the opposite of division in the body? It is care in the body. What is the cure to stop division or to cure division? It is care. Now look at this word care. It means to be anxious, to be concerned, to be troubled, to look out for. That's what it means to have care. You look out for others. You're concerned for others. You want to stop division in this church. Care for one another. It's a command. You are commanded, care for one another. What does it mean? Be anxious for each other.
Yeah.
It means to be anxious for someone else the way you are about yourself. Oh, it's all my needs, all my problems, all my prayers, all my needs, all that I'm doing. Then you're a very careless person. A caring person is anxious about others in the same way they are about themselves. They're very thoughtful of the entire body. This care brings a unity. I want to assure you, if you come to me, I've had friends, I've mentioned a prayer request 5 years ago. I didn't even know they were still praying. And they've come and said, how is that person? How is that situation? I've been blown away. I'm not praying anymore about that. I haven't even thought about it. And yet this person is still praying. I've been blown away. That is an extreme, but you know what? That guy cares. He cares. He's carried my burden. In fact, he made it more of a burden than I had. But he has carried it. What a wonderful member of the body. Saints, if we have care for one another, we will stop division, concern for each other, anxious over each other, desiring to be concerned. Someone says, don't you intrude in my business. Then how are you going to be a member? Oh, I don't want anyone to look at how I'm living. How are you going to be a member? How are you going to obey God's word? How are you going to be a part of a church? Oh, I don't want the preacher fiddling with my life. If I care for you, I will.
Right.
I'll say, that's sin, run from it.
Right.
Do you realize you could damage yourself?
Yeah.
I sat with a lady I loved with all my heart as a member of the body of Christ. An older lady. She was about to marry an unsaved person. I sat down with her. And I sat down, I was heartbroken, I was a young man. I said, don't do it. Don't do it. She got angry. She reacted. And I just softened. I didn't get hard with her. I said, I care about you so much. I really care. I don't care about a theological point. I care about you. I want to see you walk with God. Do you know what? Her heart melted. Her heart melted. We prayed together, loved one another, and carried on. It says, and whether one member suffer, all suffer. Are you suffering this morning? I ought to be able to feel that. I ought to be able to enter into that. Are you struggling this morning? I feel that. You going through anxiety this morning? I feel that. Are you carrying burdens that weigh on you? I do care about that. If one suffer, we all suffer. This is church life. Or if one member be honoured, all members rejoice with it. I'm not rejoicing with them. Then you're divisive. You're not caring. If you care about others, they can win the Olympics and you're going to go, praise the Lord. Always wanted to win the Olympics. Always wanted to run in it. But they got it. They won. Do you know what you're going to do? You're going to rejoice. Why? It comes out of care. If you get in a grump, if you criticize them, if you ridicule them and get sad, it means you don't have any care. You're divisive. You're divisive. I'm not divisive, just angry at them. Why are you angry? Why are you angry? We as the body, one member is honoured. We all experience the blessing of it. Hey, I didn't do it. I haven't won it. But I experience the wonderful blessing. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Let's just love them here.